Hello, and welcome to the Save Our Children podcast with Becky and Bridget. Parenting in a red-pilled world can be difficult. Bridget and I are here to discuss the current issues plaguing our children, bring awareness to difficult topics, and give some guidance on how to talk to your kids to help keep them safe. This podcast is in no way giving parenting or counseling advice or telling you how to raise your children. We believe that you know your babies best. Our intention is to have difficult conversations that open dialogue with your kids to prepare them for what could potentially face them beyond our protection. Join us now to help save our children.
Let's do this. Hello, welcome to the Save Our Children podcast. We're your hosts, Becky and Bridget. Today, we're going to take a step away from the heavy discussions that we've been having and talking to survivors and have a conversation about society's influences and how it impacts mental health. We'll discuss how you can prevent those specific impacts and talk about what it means to be an influential person in the world. On today's episode, we have Bridget's sister and brother-in-law, Alexis and Randy. They created the brand Under the Influence, an apparel company that wants to rewrite the narrative of what it means to be influential in the world. They also meet with and talk to many athletes throughout our state and our city. Thank you guys for joining us today. Can you give us a little more background on yourselves, your organization, and why you started it?
Good afternoon. Good morning. I'm Randy Chaddock. This is my wife, Alexis. And so just a background on us. We've been married now 7.5 years, just about. And so we have two kids, and they're younger. 6 and 3. And so, yeah, we are local here, living in Gilbert Chandler. And we started a brand called Under the Influence Streetwear. We started it in 2021.
During COVID
at the beginning of this year. And it's been going good so far. So I'll let Brooke also give you a little background on herself as well.
So I work and come from the sports and entertainment industry as my background in marketing. And so I've kind of seen the ins and outs of running different campaigns and always looked at my job as there has to be something more. Working with big multi-million and billion dollar companies and seeing their marketing campaigns and their target markets, we kind of put his creative ideas of what he wanted as a brand and what he wanted on clothes as far as what to wear and kind of my marketing mind of what we could do to retarget and kind of flip the narrative upside down of what Under the Influence really means.
Yeah. So I guess that's a really good background. So going into now Under the Influence, basically it was started, we were sitting around one day and we're literally like looking at our kids and looking at TV and looking at social media and
crazy, a lot.
You know, seeing our nieces and nephews and what they, trying to imagine what they look at and see every day at school. We got to a point where we were like, man, what is the true definition of an influencer, right? Mm-hmm. How are these kids being influenced? What do they see? What do they hear? Their everyday grind. And then, you know, we talk about those kids are elementary school and junior high.
Yeah.
And we get the opportunity to be with some young adults at the college level. It's the same thing, maybe even worse, right?
Mm-hmm.
How are they influenced on the daily, you know, as far as, you know, what do they see? What do they have to endure? What do they have to go through? And so our idea was just, Under the Influence, what does that really mean? You know, what's the best way to put it? Like, when they're under the influence of something, like, what does that really mean? And now a lot of people take that in the context of being under the influence of drugs and alcohol, right?
Right,
yeah.
Right.
But on the flip side, it's just as damaging to be under the influence of negativity, provocativeness.
The wrong influencers or visions or what, this person has 5 million, you know, followers on Instagram.
Yeah.
And they create all these TikTok videos or, you know, doing these things on YouTube. Is that who I'm supposed to be portraying to be?
Mm-hmm.
So we're trying to teach, like the youth all the way up to college.
Yeah.
Everybody has a platform.
Yeah.
And we created the brand to bring our vision of what it means to be under the influence, under positivity, motivating and encouraging. And just with us coaching youth sports, and he actually was a coach counselor at a boys ranch here in Arizona. Seeing, you know, the impacts that society or divorce or, you know, different family makeups and the dynamics of that. How could we as a husband and wife be influential of this is what God's vision is for marriage. This is what God's vision is for a family. So we kind of wanted to be that stability and that viewpoint of this is not that we're perfect, but this is what it should look like and creating that encouraging message, because we go shopping at different stores and we see all these clothes, even just for our kids who are toddlers. And I don't know how to say it. It's kind of corny.
Well, it's horrible.
And our kids probably, we get made fun of all the time because we don't let our kids wear majority of the graphic t-shirts. Like they're in a plain, you know, Nike or Polo or even those brands. Yep. It just kind of has something subtle on it, because someone told me when we were at a church conference and it was a pastor out in LA, he said, what you wear speaks a lot about you. People can know so much about you just by the clothing that you have on your body. And you're a walking billboard. And so for us, we knew that, and me obviously being from the marketing world and him being from sports world and just being, he's the fashionista of us. he picks out my wardrobe more than I pick out his, but the influence that fashion has. And we were like, we want to change that.
So obviously, and sorry for getting long-winded.
Good. This is perfect.
So our vision is to impact the community, motivate, you know, and inspire, and also encourage. And on our main focus, obviously, is the youth, but it almost, we're looking at it as a running campaign, is the fact that we, in order to influence the youth, we almost have to start at the upper, at the higher level, you know, and kind of change the what the youth are seeing. A lot of what the youth are seeing is coming from the adults.
And it's funny you say that, because that's exactly what I was thinking when you were saying that, as we can tell these kids, no, go this way, do that. But then you have mom and dad or TV or whatever saying, oh no, it's really great that you have 1,000 people on TikTok because you shook your butt in short shorts.
Exactly.
Why are we telling our children that's okay?
And it's definitely not. So, I totally agree. And it's almost like when at work, you know, when, you know, the employees are, you know, man, something's not going right here at work, but you always know that it starts at the higher level, right? And it's a trickle down. So, and so that's just kind of a backup on the brand. You know, we really believe that this brand is going to be effective. And also, and I know it may be hard to hear on the computer, but, when we talk about our marriage, we always talk about being effective and being effective, right? You got to be both in order for it to work. So that's the plan. And, you know, we'd love to be able to, our main goal for all of this, right, is obviously affect lives, impact lives of others. But we'd also, our biggest thing is being able to donate and give back, underprivileged youth, marginalized communities, things like that. So that's a short, you know, brief insight on Under the Influence.
I like it because, Bridget. I love the name, because you're absolutely right. People go, under the influence, why would you want, like, no one wants to be under the influence, or that's a bad thing. And then you're like, no, but come listen to what it is. Are you under the right influencer? Are you doing the right thing? Are you being a good influence to others and then having people under you? I think it's a super fun play on words. That's exactly what's needed.
Everybody's under the influence of something.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right? Whether you know, for us, obviously we're under the influence of God, you know, but at a lower level, under the influence of family, friends, you know, whatever it is, right? And then you have people that are actually truly under the influence of drugs, alcohol,
pornography.
You know, not to, that was going to be my next thing. Like, that's a big one, right? And so that was my struggle. And you know, being under the influence of pornography is in some ways to me, especially, and I can't speak for other people. I've never been under the influence of really like drugs and alcohol as being like an addict, but being addicted to porn, it's a tough struggle. It's a hard road. Mm-hmm. And so that's also one of the, I guess I didn't know we were going to get into that, but that's one of the...
Surprise! Welcome to our podcast.
Hey, you guys blew that one.
Right? That's one of the bigger drivers for me, is the effect that has on our youth right now.
Absolutely.
You know, I saw something maybe a year back, and I don't know if the numbers have changed, but the average age is 8. Now, which means to me that I was never really good at math. But if the average is 8, right, that means there's somebody under that, and obviously there's somebody over that. So if 8 years old is the average age, there's kids younger, and I have a boy that's 6, right? You know, I was introduced to porn when I was 10, and so that's a long road. That's a long, long road. I'm 30. How old am I?
I'm somewhere. Well, and I have 2 boys. Mine are 13 and 11. And it actually happened at the beginning of this year. Bridge and I did a podcast. I actually did one with him. We go to my church had the whole summit on trafficking, whatever. And we had Yako Boyens there. And he was talking about how the average age is 8. And if you don't talk about it, somebody else will. Mm-hmm. So that was on like Sunday. I go home and I was like, boys, has anyone asked you if you've seen porn? And they're like, no, I don't even know what that is. And so I just explained to them. I was like, it's when people have sex on camera, put it on the internet, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, why would you do that? Well, you know, it's kind of a lucrative business. There's a lot of reasons why you would do that, but I'm glad that's your answer at 13. So we were talking about it and I said, it's just not good. Don't look at it. Don't get into it. It's not where you want to be. That's not what we need to do. 2 days later, first day of 8th grade, someone comes up to him and says, have you seen porn? And he, of course, said no. But I said, but now the difference is you didn't go look at it because we already had the conversation. Talking about it.
Yeah, definitely.
That's kind of what too is kind of our thing is sometimes parents are afraid to have these conversations because it's like, oh, not my kid. But we are naive as parents, but I think we've done a really good job with mentoring and parent, you know, different conferences and things that we've attended or mentorship of being in reality of parenting. And growing up, and Bridget will tell you, our parents were kind of naive, and
aren't they all?
Yeah, and I think that's just the nature when it comes with parents. And so for us, it's like we wanted to be able to, if the conversations can't be had with your parent, we wanted to be that other set of ears of, we're in no judgment zone. So if something needs to be said or talked about, or you need to ask a question, whether it's our niece, nephews, or, you know, these college kids, high school kids, that we do have, you know, the chance to talk with, we're here for you.
Yeah.
And we always tell them we may not have the right answer, but we are going to walk through it because 99% of the time we have walked through that already. And our way may not be the right way or your way, but this is the situation that happened, and this is how we got through it. And so just talking with them and making them feel comfortable about it, or like, even just with our nieces that are in sixth, seventh, eighth grade, telling them, you know, they're beautiful or they're smart or other attributes other than physical attributes, like you're so smart, like you have such a good attitude, or just those different things, because then they know what makes a whole person. Yeah. And not just what, I mean, I tell them all the time, 90% of the girls that you see on TikTok, like, they look good for 30 seconds, but then you don't know what goes behind. Yeah. But you don't know what goes behind camera.
They don't clean their room.
They don't clean their room. Or, you know, they have different addictions, or they are influenced by someone else, or someone else is making them do that because it is a business. At the end of the day, they're signing a contract for something, and they have to do that, whether mentally they're stable. I mean, I just think of like what's going on with Britney Spears, you know what I mean? Like, she could be having a terrible day, but if she just signed a $30 million contract for a tour, guess what, girlfriend? Yep, you got to smile and wave, kiss babies, you know, shake hands, and green light goes on, and you have to turn it on. And so for us, I guess, even with some of the athletes or the college kids that we do talk to, Rainey does a really good job of showing the guys and who you are and what your identity is outside of the uniform. And who are you going to be? Say you get injured, or something happens, or you get suspended. Your identity, or a sport is taken away, but who are you as a person? And what the wholeness creates. So that was like a big thing that like we had to walk through and talk through, because we had to go through that identity process ourselves. So then walking other people through it has kind of been pretty, I don't know, it gives us a sense of accomplishment and a sense of peace that this person's going to walk away and know I am worthy of fill in the blank. And so for us, that's kind of, I kind of get like in mama mode and like want to cry, because it's pretty great.
Well, too,
I wish, oh, go ahead, Bridget.
Too, that goes back to everyone on this podcast, and it starts with ourselves and being able to hold ourselves accountable and really looking in that mirror and going back to my sister saying, like, our parents, they were naive, but we also were exposed to a lot at a young age. But I'm going to say it was a blessing, because we can look back on it now and say we didn't allow everything we were around, even though we saw it, we didn't allow it to affect us growing up. Now that we see what's going on in the world, we're like, oh, wow, like it really opened our eyes to the world. So we saw it at a young age. So now seeing it on the whole world stage, like on a bigger scale, we really can look back and tie it all together and say, now that we're older, we could have went down a different path. But because I would say, because we always had that unconditional love in our parents and that solid foundation, we didn't go down that path, because our parents were very transparent with us. And I know my brother-in-law and my sister do a great job as well with mentoring kids, like going back to being impact to the youth. And they have a shirt that says impact and impress. And you would have to see I think it's on this one. You'd have to see the design, but
keep going.
There you go.
So it's impact over impress.
Yeah.
Impact over impress.
So I'll let him go into that, but I just want to touch on going back to that is like even looking at society and how they often put the kids in a box, and looking at social media standards and tying it back to really the adults. We are the ones who are creating that and setting that foundation for the youth to look at. So it ties back to being accountable and looking at yourself and saying, what am I projecting out? And if you can go into the that label on that shirt and then the importance of creating your brand and how it affects your reputation, as well as like the whole check your circle.
Okay. So yeah, we'll start getting into some pieces. So our first piece is under the influence, and then usually on the back, we'll do impact over impress. And so how we came up with impact over impress is basically, it's kind of self-explanatory, but a lot of people want to, and we talked about this earlier, is how good can I look for 15 seconds? How good can I look for 30 seconds? How, when I pull up, what are you going to look at first? Is it my car? I step out, is it my shoes, my clothes? But after that 15 seconds is over, after that 30 seconds is over, after that initial
moment,
how impactful are you, right? And so I think it's just, for us, it's just way more important to be impactful than impressive, right? If you want to look at the sports world, right? And I kind of relate a lot of things back to sports is, you know, you're playing a football game, you come out, you're 6'4", 6'5", 245 pounds, you're ripped up, but you can't make a tackle. you look real impressive.
Right.
You haven't impacted anything, right?
Yeah.
So to me, it's and I know that's kind of separate, but that's kind of how we look at this thing and how we want to be in the world, right? We just don't want to look the part. We definitely want to be able to have some substance and actually, you know, shake some things up, move mountains, things like that. So
that's probably my number one annoyance with athletes, like professional athletes, is that they come on, look at my house, look at my stuff, look at my body, all this stuff, but they don't tell you that they have a strict diet that they have to eat, and they don't eat McDonald's all day, that they have to work out 5 hours a day to make sure that they're ready to the, I'm just making up numbers, I have no idea.
Yeah.
The standards that the trainers are saying, that they have to go and read their playbook, that they have to go into the office and look at all the things and talk with the coaches and do all the stuff. Nobody talks about that stuff. So these kids are thinking, oh, if I can just, if I'm good now, I can be good later.
No.
You're good now, you better put in a hell of a lot of work, because you're only going to get good later if you put in days and hours and all this work. And that makes me crazy that these people are like, look at this big, huge house I got. But nobody wants to look at all of the work it took to get there.
Exactly. Yep. And so that's where we got impact over impress from. I'll go into a couple other ones. What's, check your circle, you know, for maybe a little personal, but for a while, you know, we really had to look at, and a lot of these ideas come from our just everyday or our walk and where we've been over the past, you know, six, seven, 8 years. And so check your circle is another one of our designs. And it's really important for you to, one, know who you're rocking with, like who are your friends, who are your,
people say your tribe.
Your tribe, whatever you want to call it. Who's around you? A guy that mentored us a lot, and him and his wife mentored us a lot. He used to tell me, he's like, you show me your friends, I'll show you where you'll be. Not who you are. It's like, I'll show you where you'll be.
Yep.
And so that was really big for us to be able to, especially, you know, being married, you know, what does our circle look like as a married couple, right? Mm-hmm. If you're single, what does your circle look like as a single individual, you know, as a young athlete, what does that circle look like? And so it's always a good idea to check that. It's like, you know, it's funny, the same guy used to tell me, you know, when you come home, make sure, you know, you check the thermometer. And he wasn't talking about in the house, he's talking about my wife. Check the thermometer, right? What's the temperature look like? Is it
happy life?
is it hot or is it ice cold in there, you know? And so same thing, check your circle. Check who are the people that you're rolling with? Who are the people that you surround yourself with? You know, are they impactful, right? Or is your circle just impressive, right? I mean, what is, what impact are you guys having together? Are you guys, you know, as far as, you know, again, I'll take it back to athletics. Your circle that you run with, you know, young guys in high school, are you guys, you have a group of kids that you play with or play ball with, play basketball with, football, baseball, whatever it is. Is that group going to hold you accountable when you want to go, you want to go to a party, you want to go just hanging out at the mall all day, you want to sit on the game all day? No, is your circle of friends, no, let's go throw the ball. Let's go get in these routes. Let's go get in the playbook. Same thing in life, right? Is that it? Do I have somebody I can call right now and say, yo, look, I'm not doing good right now. All right, well, what's the word say, right? Mm-hmm. What is, you know, let's get together. Let's go do lunch, right? And so having those people there that you know, will actually, you know, breathe into your marriage, be there for your marriage, be there for you as a person if you're not married, be there for you in your singleness, whatever it is. Having those people that are there that will give you sound advice. You know, for us, we're always looking for godly advice.
Yeah, and I think in today's world, people are scared to reach out to other people to say, to be that transparent, I'm struggling with X.
We're losing vulnerability.
Yeah. And so for us, like, we always tell, like, people, like, we're transparent, we're open, and so we're honest. And so for us, like, we had to find those two or three people that are our accountability coaches or partners or whatever you want to call it, and find people that are going to pour into you as much as you're going to pour into them. Because what we found, or I found, because I'm a social butterfly and I like everyone should be my friend and all of this stuff. Well,
you don't have all related. I don't believe.
Yeah. you don't have all that time and energy because you just don't. And I found myself drained and depleted over some, you know, friendships that we were in. And so we had to reevaluate certain things, and we're still friends with other people, but it's just a different type of friendship. And so touching on like the mental health thing, is sometimes people are scared to say, I'm struggling with this, or our marriage looks really good on Facebook and really good on Instagram, mm-hmm. but it's crumbling in the background. Yeah. And I think in our marriage, we got to one point where I just said, looked at him and I was like, I'm done pretending. Like, this is not fun. I'm like painting on a smile and we're doing all this stuff and everyone thinks we're so great. And he was playing drums at our church that we were at, and I was volunteering with the women's group. And so for everybody, we were on this pedestal of, they're so great. And they, you know, walk to the beat of their own drum, and, you know, such a great, you know, young married couple. And I would go home and like cry after every service. And so we got to a point where like divorce wasn't it for us. Mm-hmm. And like, we surrounded our marriage and ourselves around certain people, and they helped us walk through. And a lot of times when people are able to be open and transparent with other people that they trust, and there's that accountability piece, it's like my mountain now looks like a speed bump in the road of life. To us, it looked like a really big deal because we didn't know the resources or tools or things to walk through. And when we had those and we had people around us, we were like, oh, now we look back at our, you know, struggles in the beginning of our marriage and we laugh because some of our friends or people we know are going through certain things. And like, he looked at me yesterday and he was like, I don't miss that at all, you know? And so right. For us, we kind of look at certain situations and laugh about it now, but people need to know. And I, you know, we talk about it all the time. We watch a different podcast, and mental health is real. It's not a stigma, and everyone's, I guess there's a scale, right? Everyone's scale of what I'm able to withhold or withstand can be different than his. Mm-hmm. Like, if I'm able to do 20 tasks, he may be exhausted after 5 or things like he says 1. But I mean, the putting necessary expectations on other people, and just kind of, we live in these confinements of, oh, that person has issues, or that person, you know, and that's not the case. They may not have the resources or tools, or actually want to come out and say, hey, I'm struggling with this, because mm-hmm. they would get a label slapped on them. Mm-hmm. And you can't live defined by labels that society or other people put on you, because that's not what, I mean, for us, it's not what God says or who you are. And so for us, we've kind of had to not look at the labels that society or social media or really be confident in who God says that we are.
We're supposed to be.
Who we're supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And just kind of live by that. And I mean, there are good days, there are bad days, but.
Well, and I'm glad you speak to that, because I've been married 16 years. We, this last year, really went through kind of the same thing. It was all just comfortable. We were roommates. It was fine. It didn't really matter. We weren't, it wasn't like we didn't talk. It wasn't like we didn't do anything. It wasn't any of that, but it was just like, is this the way I want to live for the rest of my whole life? Like my parents, his parents live that way, where like they tolerate each other and they go on vacation, but like, that's about the extent of where their marriage is. And I was like, yeah. I don't want to get there in 20 years and that be my life. That sounds like an awful way to go. And we both grew up Catholic. That all kind of fell away because it was like, no, because of the world, because of society, because that's what it was. No, it's not cool to have those views. It's not all that big. I ended up going back to church a couple of years ago, just this last year, at once everything reopened with COVID. My church came back open and my whole family started going. Then it was, okay, so we're fixing that. Now we're going to start going to therapy because we're going to fix this. And a lot of what we discovered was what we thought was the issue is not the issue. No, mm-hmm. when I was mad, it's not, I'm not mad at you. I'm mad at something else, but you're taking that on. And so then now you're mad because I'm mad. Wait a minute. Yeah. That's not how mm-hmm. this works. Like now we can live and it's like, okay, just give her a minute or find a space or just come and give her give me a hug. That's all I need. Yeah. I don't need a fix. I don't need a whatever, but we have been able to have the conversation of when you do this, what does that actually mean? Oh, I didn't know that you were so aware of all of the stuff that I did. And I didn't know that I was so influential in speaking of in the way that your attitude was. And so it was really, really important for us to just like lay that foundation of here's really what we mean, and being vulnerable in the point of let's have that conversation. So we're not doing this all the time, or we're not going away. And God, it really is. I'm one of those women, or I'm not so much anymore, but I was one of those who were like, I'm going to climb the corporate ladder and you're not going to stop me and I'm going to do whatever I want and blah, blah, blah. And now it's like, yeah. And now it's like, I don't want to do that anymore. And I literally could quit my job today and be perfectly fine. I mean, I like my money, but you know what I'm saying? Like totally different life than what I was 2 years ago.
Yeah. I think one thing that has stuck with us too is going back to under the influence is when you're with someone, just one person, it says one is the influencer and one is being influenced. Mm-hmm. And I always looked at like, it's true. And so for us, it's like, don't live under the influence, be the influence. And so for us, it's not, I know like our son will never, I pray to God, but he would never fall under peer pressure because mm-hmm. he asked 21 questions. So, you know, and we've kind of instilled that in him where now we're paying the price because we're on this.
He asked 21 questions.
And he's like, wait, I don't have to do this. Why do I have to throw the ball to first when the guy's running to second and I could get an out at second? We're like, just do what the coach tells you. But then sometimes we don't want him to do what adults are telling us, you know? Yep. And so for us, we're like, is this a fail or is this a, you know, are we succeeding at parenting or are we failing? And so we're trying to slowly, I know he's strong-minded, but sometimes it gives us the challenge where it's him against us and we're like, dude. And so we're working on that.
I'm right you, now. So knock it off.
But yeah, I think for us, it's just trying to make an impact everywhere or anywhere we go, whether it's at the grocery store or at our kids' school, you know, showing up, like both of us make it a point to show up for parent-teacher conference so that the teacher knows that this is a two-parent household, or, you know, sporting events or sport, you know, our kids at sport, or, you know, we seldomly go anywhere without each other. And, or just showing our kids, 90% of the time they always say, you know, these things start at home. Yeah. So for us is creating that home environment for our kids of this is how this functions. And then these are our expectations when we leave the house, how we're going to act in this world. And our kids may see differently, right? Because not everyone is like us. Mm-hmm. And we don't expect
the world would be so much better if they were.
Thank you. But it's like when somebody says this, like you, you know, these are the responses, or just the different expectation levels we have with our kids is, I don't know, like certain things, Bridget's really good about it, but she'll be like, hey, we're going to do this. Are they allowed to watch this movie? Are they allowed to do these activities? And 90% of the time we say yes. But like if they go over to a friend's house or someone else's house, and I never want our kids coming back and saying, oh, we watched this scary movie, or we watched this and we're just looking at back to the adult, right? Mm-hmm. Because a six-year-old's not going to say, well, I'm not allowed to watch that. Yeah. And so, oh, it's okay. You're at our house. I'm an adult. So for us, like we try to tell the adults too, like, no, they're not allowed to do this, or they're not allowed to eat these things, or they're not allowed to watch, or it's basically exposure. And so for us, our kids don't live in this bubble, but at the same time, we do want to procure their innocence and control what we can control. And eyes are the gateway. That's another one of your shirts.
Taking all my thunder.
Sorry, I'll be quiet. But eyes are the gateway to the soul, which is in the Bible. And so for us, it's keeping our kids' eyes and ears protected. And not just us, but I mean, even the older kids, I should say, who are become kind of our kids, is you don't have to listen to that music, or you don't have to watch those movies. Or my biggest thing was during Halloween. Like, you're gonna go spend $45 to walk through this crazy thing to get scared for what? Mm-hmm. And so for us, it's just like certain things, like you now can't sleep for 3 days because you walked, you know, 18 floors where people are chasing you. And I don't know, that's just not our cup of tea.
Nope. That's a hell no. That's not even a little no. That's like a hell no. Literally. Well, and that's, I think part of it too is reframing how we see our kids. Now, that does not mean that they do not drive us absolutely nuts and we want to lock them in the room. But the idea of when we were growing up that you're bossy, you're stubborn, you're this, like all of those are labels that were given to us as kids that, thank God, are now coming back as like, oh, being stubborn is actually a good thing, isn't it now? So there we, like, stuff like that, where we start to reframe, like, yes, I don't want to ask the 26th question that you're, or answer the 26th question that you're asking me, but knowing that because you are asking so many questions and you are starting to question authority, not in a bad way, not disrespectfully, my kids are the same, that's why I'm saying this, that I want you to question authority, because if it doesn't make sense, you don't necessarily need to do it. And that's even what our church says. Like, if it doesn't follow the Bible, you don't do it. That's how it is. But you don't need to be disrespectful. You don't need banging down doors. You don't need to be rude, but you can start asking questions. And so it also is that, like, okay, someday this will be a good characteristic for you to have. Right now, if you could turn that down though a little bit, it'd be great.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
So a big one was for us, and Bridget could probably chime in and tell you, is when we were growing up, you would go to a family gathering and you would have to go around. Our parents would make us hug everyone. Hello. All of our aunts, uncles, cousins, grandparents, whatever. And if we didn't, we kind of got the stare like, oh, well, your kid didn't hug me. Where when we first had Nico, like, he wouldn't hug certain adults. And I think after the second or third time, we're like, he doesn't have to do that. Our pediatrician actually told us, like, he doesn't have to do that. And he's not being disrespectful, but it's the boundaries in his personal space as a kid that he doesn't want to go up and hug you, or he's not comfortable, right? He can say hi, but he doesn't have to go up and hug you. And so for us, looking back at it, I'm thinking, like, I wish my parents would have told me that, because there's certain times I don't want to hug, you know, my annoying uncle or loud or, you know.
Check yourself. What's the reason they don't want to hug you?
Yeah. Yeah. And so for us, like, we had to look like, our kids, yeah, they may run up and hug you one day, and the next day they may just give you a wave. And I'm sorry, like, it's just the boundaries that we have set as a family, where it goes back to that expectation of, you're going to be nice, you're going to, you know, say hello, be courteous. But like, if someone wants a hug and you don't want to give them a hug, you don't have to. And it happened last night, and I looked at Randy. I told Randy the story this morning, because one of the players at the game, Nico, was like all excited to see him after the game. They won and everything like that. And the player gave him like sweatbands and was signing his poster and all this stuff. And then the player's mom was like, can we take a picture? And I was like, yeah, sure. And I like get my camera ready, and Nico looks up the player and was like, I don't want to take a picture with him. Like, I don't want to take a picture right now. And usually I would be like, stand there, smile, be quiet, yeah, and you're going to take a picture, you know? And the kid looked at Nico and looked down at Nico, and he's what, 18, 19?
20.
He's like, it's okay, bud. He was like, I don't like taking pictures with people either. Aww. And it was like the coolest thing. He was like, I know how it feels when my mom would try to meet. Here's my mom and your mom.
He's just doing it now.
Yeah. And so I'm looking at myself. He's 6 and the other one's 20. And, you know, me and his mom are probably 20, 15 years apart. And we're still going through the same issue with a 6-year-old as a 20-year-old. And so for us, like, that made me look at it in a different way this morning. Okay. He doesn't have, if Nico says no, Nico says no. And I'm not going to push that on him, because that's, I don't know, making him do something that he doesn't want to do. And in the end, you know, I don't ever want him to have to do something that he doesn't want to do because someone told him he had to do it.
Looking at that too is like, people in the sports world, for example, or even the entertainment industry, you see where it's like, oh, that athlete owes me this, or that athlete has to take a picture with me because they signed that contract. That's part of their job. But there's so much, especially like as a young athlete, that people forget is they are still growing, and especially it starts in college. They're getting thrown into college, they're learning a lot, but then even as they go through that, and they say if they want to go to NFL, well, now society has all these expectations and labels put on them that they just expect, where some days that person might be having a bad day. You don't know what they're going through in their life and enduring, but society often puts everybody in a box and says, no, they have to do this, or the mainstream media always flips the narrative. So just remembering to look back at even the mental health and being mindful of the athletes, because you never know what they're going through in their daily lives and how it's affecting them, or if they just had a grandparent pass away, or or a parent or whoever it may be, you don't really know their mental health. So just because the lights are on and they have to perform, you don't know what's going on when those lights shut off and when they're going home. And I think that's what people often forget, is there's just so much expectations. And as that you get into NFL or the entertainment industry in Hollywood, you see so many who sell their soul and they don't even own their own brand and own their own name. And then if they choose to pull away and say, no, I want out of this, it's not that easy, because they're providing for their family. They're providing so much, and there's a lot of sacrifice in that. And so I think it's a double-edged sword. So you have to remember and be mindful of, again, what you're influencing and what you are, who you are as a person and what your brand is. But if we can also touch on too, mentorship, and just as both of you have seen, I know my sister's done a lot with softball and mentored a lot of young girls in the youth, and you as well, Randy, have done coaching and mentorship from nephew's age, which is 5-6 years old, all the way up to, you're seeing it on a high school level. But so you've seen the young youth, you've seen the high school age, as well as all the way through the college level. As far as like mentorship and mental health, what would your advice be to parents and coaches who are in that mentorship role? What would be something that, as a mentor, when stepping back and saying, stepping out of that coach role and saying, how can I effectively impact this kid today? If somebody was to come to me and say, hey coach, like I'm struggling with this or on the verge of suicide, because you see the youth turning to that so quickly. Yeah. What would you say as far as like mentorship role, if a coach stepping out of the coaching role and being that ear for that player or for that student, what would be some advice?
Yeah. So that's a really good point. So, it kind of goes back to what my wife was talking about earlier, is the pads come off and they come on, mm-hmm. right? Your shoes, your jersey comes off and it comes on. Your cleats come off and they come on. Only thing that doesn't come off and come on is you as a person, right? So at the end of the day, we got to figure out whoever it is. We got to figure out who this young person is as a person, who this adult is as a person. And so my approach is I never come in as a fan. Right. I never come in as, oh, I seen you had, 30 catches this past season and, 4 touchdowns and over 1,100 yards. That's never my approach. My approach is, okay, how's mom? Yeah. Right. How is dad? How's grandma?
Yeah.
Right. And so then you can say, all right, how's school going? Right.
Yeah.
So my approach is never, I never come in and it's never about the sport. We know you play.
Yeah.
Right? I know you play football. I know you play basketball. I know you play baseball. You know?
That's not your identity. That's not
your identity. Mm-hmm. What's the grades look like?
Yeah.
Right? What do your grades look like? So it's more about that. And so one thing that we've noticed, and especially it's really big, and, a lot of the kids are in state, but a lot of the kids that we really have grown closer with are kids that are out of state. They're away from home, away from family, friends, normalcy, away from their climate, whatever it is. Yeah. Everything is new, right? And so what you'll find is a lot of these kids that come off as macho or hard or tough or whatever it is, a lot of them really want to be at home with mom or dad or whoever it is. And so what we've done is we offer a home a lot. Let's have dinner. Let's just hang out. Come through. You can come. Our kids having a birthday party. Come through. Come hang out with family. Barbecue. Get in the pool. That's all you can really do for some kids at a higher level. But all we want to do is just offer them, family, And then what you'll start to do, they'll come over and they'll start talking.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I'll start talking, and then all of a sudden you'll hear him say, like, you know, whatever it is, my coach this, but really, what's the deeper issue, right? And so mm-hmm. you'll just pick that apart, and that's always my approach. My mentorship is, again, it's never about, I'm not mentoring them how to run routes. They have a coach that gets paid an incredible amount of money to do that, or another, or, you know, not even at the college level, at the high school level, but, you know, elementary level, like, you know, a lot of these kids, other, you know, kids that we, that play with my son, you know, they come over, they just want to hang out and be around family and friends. Tired. A lot of these younger kids are just, they want to just come play and be
a kid,
Right. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we try to offer that. We try to be a safe house. We try to be an open house. And that way, you know, it's real inviting. And that's our approach, is like she said earlier, you know, when we pray, I always say, you know, let our marriage be the light of what marriage is supposed to look like. Let it be the image of what marriage is supposed to look like. Let our family be the image of what God created family to look like. And I think with that, God will honor that. And when he honors that, I think that's where you'll see a lot of these kids will gravitate to us. The young adults will grab. And it's not even just kids. We have other married couples that, hey, when can we come hang out, you know? Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, and I hope this doesn't seem like we have it all together or we're tooting our own horn or anything like that, but a lot of times married couples, when they say, hey, can we come hang out? Really, they want to come. We want to come talk, you know?
And he hates talking.
Oh, my God. My wife has taught me a lot about communication. You know, I used to not be, I'm still not that great at communicating, especially on like serious issues. You know what I mean? Sports, we can talk about it. Food, we can talk about it. Work, right? But when it comes to like real, true emotions and feelings and things like that, like I'm really trying to tap into that more. But again, it's weird because with her, it's really hard. With with people I mentor, yeah, sure, let's talk.
Yeah, because you know? That's vulnerable. That's the same thing. That's
exactly,
the same thing,
right?
With us too. Like my husband grew up, his dad, we don't talk about that stuff. No one talks about it. And I grew up kind of in the same boat where even though I'm like, I would be what would be considered emotional, it's only on the surface.
Yeah.
To whatever level. Once you start getting deep, then it's like, nope, I don't want to cry. If you make me cry, then I'm going to be mad at you because you made me cry. Because I don't like to be vulnerable. But the best part about that and the things that I've learned over the last couple of years is I am showing my boys that that's how you're supposed to be. And that it's okay that you are, that, you know what, that you're sad about this. Or whatever, my 13-year-old, we are homeschooling him now because school got so heavy for him that I was like, I can't let you keep doing this because you will not be an okay adult, teenager, or otherwise if I don't reset this year and say, guess what? We're going to reset your mental health. We're going to reset your knowledge and we're going to try it again.
Yeah.
And just last week, he was, I keep telling him to take notes. He thinks taking notes is stupid. So he doesn't do as well as he hopes he does because he tries to remember it. So again, mom is right. But, you know, we're not going to admit that.
Yeah.
So anyway, at the end of the day, I asked him, I was like, how are you doing? And he's like, I'm still sad. And I said, well, why? He goes, because you scare me when you get angry. And I said, well, I'm really working on not being angry. So I apologize for scaring you. I said, but I also imagine that I'm scary when I'm disappointed because you don't want me to be disappointed. And he goes, yeah. And I said, well, I'll try and work on not being so disappointed. And he goes, and I'll try to take notes.
Yeah. You made a good point. And so a lot of these kids don't want to be vulnerable. They don't want to give up. They have this hard shell on. And so being able to, I'm learning that it's actually a skill to crack that shell. But once you do it, it's the breakthrough is crazy.
Yep.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, a lot of these kids, right, they have this wall up of, I'll be honest with you, a lot of it is insecurity. You know, for example, you take, you know, a lot of these athletes, they've been the man.
Yep.
They've been the dude for, you know, since they were six. Now they're 18. So they've been
there's a whole lot of very similar men going on to that team.
There's a whole lot of similar, bigger, faster, stronger, more capable dudes. So now it's like, oh, shoot, now what do I do? Right. And again, it's all about fight. Like that shell that they put up is now, it's in a way, it has a negative effect. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. And so they can't play free. Right. They're tight. Right. You know, it's that's just on the football field. You're only on the football field 2-3 hours, right? So what do they do for the remainder of the day, right? While they have this shell up, right? Because it's still there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, you know, being approachable, being able to, you know, break that down and really be, I think it is the mental health part of it. It's like being able to break that. And the only way you can break that is being able to talk to somebody, being able to communicate how you're feeling, what you're going through, what do we have to do to get out of this?
Yeah.
You know? And I think that's when that part comes, that's the mentorship part is being able to break that shell, break that ice, you know, and I'm talking at the college level right now, but you know, that also is, for these kids, they have some shells up too, right? You know, a lot of these kids, junior high, you know, my niece has got some attitudes on them that are unbelievable. And it goes on like this. Mm-hmm. And I go, look, I didn't do nothing to you.
Yeah. Well, you'd think it'd be a girl thing, but my 13-year-old does the same thing.
No, the boys got it too. Boys got it too. And sometimes it's worse too, because you're in a way, you're right, you got this little cheese on, and I go, what's wrong with you? You know, but, you know, it's being able to break that shell and being able to, cause again, when I feel like that's a snowball thing, when they put this wall up and then now they start closing things in, not being able to talk to their parents, friends, whatever it is, it will start to come out in other ways. Mm-hmm. They'll act out, you know, and with that, that's where the snowball starts as far as getting influenced by, you know, other things, the wrong thing, because you're looking for a quick fix. You're looking for approval.
Kids.
You're looking you're looking for all these things that, you know, really you could get right here, but you have this wall up with me for what, you know? And so, you know, being able to break that down, and you're right, it takes time, but it's all about communication. And again, I'm not the best at communicating. I know that for a fact. My wife is good at communicating.
Women are a little bit better at it.
I'll give it to you.
I think for us, it goes back to making an impact wherever that we are. So like the people that we are mentoring with, I mean, some of the girls that I coached youth softball with, I mean, I had them when they were 8, 9 years old. Like, I had no kids, you know. I was 21 years old thinking I wanted to coach softball, and I did it for the love of the sport. But what I found on the field was it's more than the sport. And being able to, like, mentor these girls through, like, telling them the first time they had their, like, menstrual cycle. I had to talk to them because their parents were, we were all staying in a house together and their parents were at different hotels. Oh, no. Oh my gosh. Thank you for leaving me with this big responsibility. And I think at that age, coaching or teaching, or when you have those certain platforms with a captive audience, you are influencing them in a certain way. And that is a prize that I think people don't take as important. Like, I love teachers, and like, I am so thankful for you, because I could not sit in a classroom with 25 kids and teach, especially if they all act like mine. You know?
And I was gonna say, and be nice.
Yeah. And so I think realizing as a coach, or going back to different platforms, is you have to realize the importance of your platform when you have a captive audience. a lot of people have these platforms and are powerful, but they're using their platforms for the wrong reasons. And so for us, I'm able to look at these girls, and I know for him is the girls that I coached who were 8 and 9 years old are now in their 20s. And they're playing at a higher level in college. And it's not like, oh, I sent that girl to college and, you know, because of my coaching. It's how does she look like, and how does she treat other people when she's at that level? And so, you know, it's never, oh, well, she was my favorite coach because she taught me how to hit a home run. It's always they come back and say something like, you've impacted me in a certain way. And these girls, they didn't know, but they were in our wedding because there was like 10 or 12 of them. And they thought that I impacted their worlds, but they got to grow with me from when they were 8 until they were 13, and how they influenced how I acted in certain situations. Or I couldn't go out and party with my friends on Mill Avenue because I had to turn around and coach a 10 a.m. game. And so it's like you realize your responsibility as a person and as a coach or a mentor or as a teacher, you have a responsibility. If I'm expecting these girls to give me 100%, I have to give them 100%. And so for us, that is like a big thing is like, some of these girls come over and babysit our kids, or, you know, some of them are getting engaged, or like, now they're giving our kids, you know, hitting lessons or different things that they're able to impact. Where you sometimes, when, like, I know for us and under the Influence clothing brand, it's not about the money and how profitable it can be. It's about pushing the message out there and realizing, like, you don't have to wear these dumb shirts that say this or that or crazy things on them, because that's not what it's intended for. Just because all the other kids are doing it, you know? Right. And so for us, it's more so a ripple effect and something, it's laying or planting seeds or coins of, I don't know, goodness and gratitude and like our positivity and encouragement and motivation. If we leave these little deposits to make an impact, we know it's going to come back. And it's not going to be a monetary form per se, but it's the people that we're mentoring are going to be fathers and mothers one day. Mm-hmm. And hoping that the way that we guided them is going to help them to be a better dad or a better mom or a better husband or wife or teacher. Or like some of the guys want to get into criminal justice. And so for us, it's like, okay, here's, you know, if this is what you want to do, we know so-and-so and so-and-so, like he's ready to make an impact for the youth because he was a troubled youth or, you know, experience or were exposed to things in life that it wasn't the route that he wanted to take per se. And so now he's going back and giving back. And I think that's one of the things that we see too, is when we're on a platform, and I wouldn't say we're on a platform, but when we're, you know, have a captive audience, or some of these people that get promoted or at a higher level or have a platform, no one ever reaches back to help the next man up. Mm-hmm. And so for us, it's like, if I'm ever in a position to promote someone or to give someone a job or, you know, put them in a better position, not only for themselves, but possibly their families, and they're asking me, you're here, how did you get there? Reaching back and lifting them up, because I was that one person before, 3 steps back, and someone had to help elevate me to get me where I am today. And I don't think we see enough of that, and people get discouraged and they're like, well, I'm never going to go down that path because I don't know where to start.
Yeah. Are you always here? This is what I always tell my boys, is if somebody is making fun of you, hurting your feelings, doing whatever, it's because you're doing something they can't do, won't do, or otherwise. And so they're always trying to pull you down, but you're absolutely right. There's not enough people who are further along will not be the ones making fun of you, doing all that stuff. But there aren't a lot of people who are turning around and saying, hey, let me give you a hand. And it kind of goes back to, like I said, I want to see these athletes showing what it takes to do and get in that role so that you can start. There's a 6-year-old boy who wants to play football. What does it take? Well, it takes a heck of a lot of work to get there. All right, well, am I ready to do it? Let's do it.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And so I think with kind of, and that's one of my biggest things. I know Bridget said this earlier about the athletes and what they have to go through. There's another side to that. And one of the players actually said this last night, my wife was telling me about it, is that there is a part of when you take on the form of being an athlete, a college athlete, you know, you're starting to see it more now with these kids that are, these high school programs are crazy. Yeah. But these high school, bigger high school programs, these college programs, even in the NFL, you were a kid once, mm-hmm. right? You were a kid once. And if these players that play in the NBA, Major League Baseball, NFL, these kids, their dream of playing professionally started really early, right? Mm-hmm. A majority of the time. And so their heroes, some of them may say their idols, were these guys. And if they got the chance to meet them, it was like everything to them, right? Mm-hmm. And so now that they're younger and now that they're older, actually playing in this, remember that, mm-hmm. right? So when you do see a kid, you know, a younger kid in, you know, junior high and elementary, whatever, and
they're screaming
your name. Don't be that guy that
just walks by.
It'll make their day if you literally look at them and wave.
Yep.
You don't have, like, a lot of people think you got to take all this time to go and, like, sign everything that they have, sign a shoe, a shirt, give them your shoe. No, you don't have to do that. Honestly, these kids, they just want you to look at them, know, and acknowledge that they're there, wave, and say what's up.
And it's funny because we always do spring training. My boys are baseball kids.
Yes.
My younger son is a catcher, and he's going to the major leagues. If you ask him, he's already bought his Lamborghini.
I love it. So, but I
don't even remember where we were, and they were waiting, and Bryce Harper walked by. And he didn't say a thing, and he walked by. And there, to this day, my son refuses to buy, look at, or otherwise anything that has Harper's name on it because he didn't even so much as stop and wave.
So, that happened with our son. That happened. So I'm a big Cubs fan.
I'm sorry. I'm from Milwaukee, so.
I was going to ask you it sounded like you were from somewhere up around Chicago. Up north, way.
Yep.
Yeah. Milwaukee. But. We're big Cubs fans, and we used to go to spring training, and the guys would come over. Now, 2015, mm-hmm. before they won the World Series, you could go there, and you'd go run on the field. A security guard wouldn't say anything to you. You'd go steal a ball from somebody, and be like, oh, yeah, fun. 2016, they win the World Series. We go back for spring training the following year. They went. None of the players would actually, you know, I don't know if you know where Sloan Park.
And oh, yeah. We've been there. Yep.
Where you could, like, stand and they would walk through.
Uh-huh.
Right. After they won, now they'd get on golf carts and go around. Right.
To the outfield.
And don't get me wrong. I get it. I get both sides.
Yep.
Okay. I understand.
There's a bunch of crazy adults that try and get all up in there and do weird stuff.
Yeah.
And
now you got these 34-year-old guys that got their
World Series
books and all their cards, and you know they're pushing kids out of the way to go sign. I get that, right? Yep. But and it's not just I won't just pick on the Cubs. But
it's all of them.
It's a lot of these professional athletes, and again, I get both sides. But at the same time, if you see a child. Just remember where you were, right? Mm-hmm. We got a broken poppet.
Oh, jeez.
The end of the world.
It is the end of the world.
A broken poppet.
And so for us.
We'll get on Amazon and we'll get you another one in 5 minutes.
Jeez. I'm so tired of plastic. So, but honestly, for us, it's one of those deals. It's like she was just saying, it may not be on the sports field, wherever it is, it may just be relationally.
Yeah.
Reach back. Remember where you were, right? And reach out to that person. Help that person. Talk to that person. Acknowledge that person. Again, like Bridget was saying, you know, suicide. You never know where somebody is, right? They may be going through the same thing that you went through, that you have now grown out of or recovered from, whatever it is. And all they're looking for you to do is may possibly just, hey, look, I see you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I see where you are. Lifeline. I see you okay. And you may not have to go grab that person and say, hey, let's go talk. No, it may just be you looking at them and saying, hey, how are you? What is it? You know, and then from there you build that relationship. And yep. I think that's in a full too long story. I think that's what I was trying to get. Reach back, grab the person that, you know, needs the help that, you know, you can actually affect and impact their life, you know, and help them grow and help them realize their dreams. If you're looking at it from a sports aspect, you know, some of these kids, man, they got to understand that you're taking on that responsibility when you play at a high level.
Yeah.
You are taking on that responsibility of, you know, fan acknowledgement and engagement. And again, there's different levels of that, right? But at the same time, there is a portion of that where you do need to, you know, to give back and build these kids up. And again, a lot of these kids, they just want to hide.
Yeah, and I think too, a lot of times is, we always talk about it is, and this is like another topic for a different conversation, is now where college athletes are able to get paid for their name, image, and likeness, right? That's great. But what are the resources and tools that you're providing with these student athletes or to these student athletes that mm-hmm. are going to teach them how to capitalize on their name, image, and likeness, right? And so for us, it's like, yeah, you provided the end result, but what are the steps, kind of like you were saying with the professional athlete world, is what are the steps or what are the things that I need to do to make myself profitable, right? Yeah. And so for us, it's not just the NIL deals, but it's the mental health of it.
Yeah.
Like a lot of these kids are coming into different programs and even at the high school and junior high level of playing at a higher level, but they're not given maybe a mental health coach or a school psychiatrist, or, you know, their parents are going through a divorce back home 3,000 miles away and they don't feel like they can talk to anyone, or, you know, their single family or single parent home and they're getting, you know, college paid for, an apartment and things are paid for, but their family's struggling back home. Can we work through these topics of discussion? Or, you know, those are the things that they have to, it's the weight, not just of the uniform, not just of their kids. Mm-hmm. So you're giving these adult responsibilities and expecting them to perform at a higher level, but they're kids.
They're kids. Yeah.
And sometimes kids don't know how to navigate and work through these things and they're stuck. They feel stuck in a situation. So what do? They turn to going out and partying. They turn to going out and drinking or hooking up with girls or back to all these vices, where that's not who you're supposed to be and that's not your identity, but because they don't know who they are as a person outside of the uniform, they turn. And so for us, it's not just, I don't want to like keep harping, it's not just the sports world, but that's in other people that we mentor and talk to, whether it's a grown adult or kids, like when kids act out at school, whether they're jumping on top of a desk. Well, what's going on at home? Like, and it goes back to like your counseling session for marriage. It's like, well, I act like this when this, right? For every action, there's a reaction. So the issue, why I'm mad at him isn't because he didn't do the dishes. I'm mad at him because he forgot X, Y, Z.
Yeah,
and then I looked at the sink, right? And then I looked at the sink. And I'm like, oh my God, he forgot one more thing to do the dishes. Yeah. So it's like, it's going back to those, you know, the root of the issue. And so we try to dig down. What is the root of the issue? How can we make an impact? And
And I think it is a ripple effect, right? So now, you know, I didn't have this when I was a kid. I didn't have this, you know, going through college, not from my parents, not from, you know, whoever. So not, you know, we can see it a little bit already. But there's a couple people that we mentor that they've already started this same thing with some of their younger kids, that family, friends, whatever it is, checking in on people more, checking in on family more. So hopefully and prayerfully, this can continue to build to something that where if anything positive comes out of this, is that we're checking on each other more.
Yep. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
We need a whole lot more of that in the world.
Yeah. You know, and again, if that's what comes out of this, I'll be happy. I'll be thankful. And I'll feel like that's you know, what God intended this to be. You know, anything more comes out of it, obviously it's a blessing, but you know, for us, impacting the community, family, friends, things like that, that's our biggest thing. And I know you said you got to get going in like 5 minutes.
Tying it back to community, you often hear us talk on our podcast, it starts with ourselves. It starts at home and then branching it out into your community and knowing that that's where you are, your kids are, and what do you want that world to look like? So if you want to see a change in your world and your environment, you have to be the one, whether you're out leading at your church and volunteering and giving back to the homeless or even just listening. The simple thing of knowing that you have someone and being that ear for somebody, you never could imagine how impactful that is for that one person. Just knowing that they have somebody to hear them out and not judge them and being that safe zone. So we often talk about that and just staying true to who you are and standing in your truth and practice what you preach, being authentic. And so tying that back in and wrapping it all up is one of our top questions that we always ask is how, for those struggling with mental health, whether it be in school, sports, society, pressure, and influencers that we see where that person feels like they're alone, they don't have anybody. And the pressure of society today is completely different than when we grew up. How do you deal with adversity and trolls or like the hate of it or even jealousy? Either whoever wants to answer that, either one of you two, or if you both want to do your own.
I would say it's okay to go against the grain. When everyone says do this, it's okay to question because everyone has a different set of standards or what society says is cool. Well, I say it's not, you know, and so for us, that was like really big with that is be a leader. Don't be a follower. And I think dealing with adversity, that kind of answers that question, is standing and being true to who you are and what you believe in. And everyone has their own opinions or different opinions. And I struggled with this over the last year and a half with like COVID and all of that, but really believing and standing up for what you believe in, these are the reasons why I believe it. And I think as far as the mental health aspect is, it's okay to not be okay, right? And really ask, I think our society with social media has gotten to be surface and relationships are surface. So for us, like we ask the questions like, no, how are you really doing? What's going on? Are you okay? You know, and sooner or later, you're peeling back those layers like an onion. These are the reasons why I'm not okay or those things. And just checking in on people, I think, is always a good thing, not just on Facebook or Instagram or any of the social medias, because that's just a snapshot of the best moments, you know, in our lives or in our day-to-day world, because nobody ever puts an ugly picture of themselves or family on Instagram or social media because of society's standards, right? Mm-hmm. Of what the expectation of social media is supposed to be. So I think really releasing, once you do the identity work, is releasing those unrealistic expectation and on yourself and on your friends and what it's supposed to look like, because it's not supposed to look like that.
Yeah. That's the answer I was going to give too. So
word for word, exactly.
Verbatim. I'll just add this to it. I heard somebody say this one time and it's stuck with me ever since I've heard it. He said, are you interested or committed? Right? Are you interested or committed? And if you relay that to anything in your life, if those two things are pretty impactful to anything you do in life, right? I'm going to wash these dishes. Am I interested in washing them or am I committed to washing them? One, you'll have some dirty spoons. The other one, be nice and shiny, right? Mm-hmm. And I know that's, I'm kind of making a joke, but in a way, like, that relates to everything you do, right? Mm-hmm. If you're interested in being married, be all right. But if you're committed, there's a whole nother level of being a committed married man, right? And so that, are you interested in your mental health? Are you committed to it, right? Interested, But if you're committed to it, you'll do the things that you need to do. You'll seek the help.
Set the boundaries.
Set the boundaries that you need, and you'll be able to be, more on top of your mental health than that. But again, we say all these things with, I won't say as a clear-headed or a good head on our shoulders, but we have to relay this information to the people that don't have this way of, this outlook, right? Mm-hmm. This way of thinking. And so in order to do that, that's where we have to be involved in the community, be present in the community, whatever it is that you, and the best way to do it is find out what your talents are. I'm not going to say I'm the best youth coach in the country, but I'm interested in it. I was interested in it. Now I'm committed to it. Right. And so with that commitment comes a higher level expectation, from me, not from the players. Right. Not from these kids. Right. Yeah. But now my responsibility is heightened. Right. I could care less about what you do on the field.
Yep.
Are you polite to your brothers and sisters? Right. What are your grades like? After every practice, I tell them, I love you. I say, tell your parents you love them and tell them thank you for everything that they do for you, especially allowing you to play whatever sport we're in at that time, football, basketball, whatever it is. And so we do report card checks, is there really a consequence? But I'm letting them know that matters to me.
It's holding them accountable. There will be at some point, though.
Exactly. At some point, right? Are we, the other day, Friday night, we had a game and the referee made a really bad call, and our kids are at a point now where they know. They're like, that's a terrible, like they're yelling at the ref. I call a timeout, middle of the game, call a timeout. I say, get over here. I said, I do that.
Yep.
Right? You guys play.
Yep.
Right? Don't worry about stuff like that. So to me, that's the responsibility. It's not, again, I'm not looking at these kids, every one of them, we go play D1 sports. I'm not looking at, like, that's not what it is. To me, it's, are we building good young men that are also going to be impactful in the community, right? I mean, we look impressive. Don't get me wrong. We walk on the field, but we're tough, right? But off the field, are we going to be able to impact the community? And so just real quick, like I said, I know you got to go, but we like to do this year. We're planning on doing another last year with the kids. We did Fed the Homeless. And what did we
do? Did a toy drive.
Yeah.
And then we did, we made the care packages.
Yep, we did the care packages, and we took them to, what park is that in Mesa?
Veterans Park.
Yeah, I think it's Veterans Park in Mesa. So we made...
Oh, okay. We
made over 100 something bags and went and took them out, delivered them. Hopefully this year we can do it bigger, where we're going to be looking at getting more of the kids that play on our team. And if you guys want to get together and see if we can just put a swarm out there and just make one sweep just across, the valley. But the hope is to be able to eventually build this thing to where it's annual. And we can really start affecting people. And I know it's tough because it's like, hey, yeah, we want it. It's like Thanksgiving, we do it, right? Christmas, we do it. The hope is to be able to do it when it's not as fashionable, right? And so that's where I think the impact starts to come, when it's unexpected. And so everybody knows Christmas time, there'll be some toy drive somewhere. There'll be some food drive. Somebody's going to be handing out something.
Turkeys,
whatever it is. But, We want to be able to get out into the community and be effective that way. So
that's awesome.
That's the plan. I can get more information to Bridget on that. And we'll plan it out to where maybe we can make it a decent sized event.
Yep. I have a club baseball team. I'm happy to drag a bunch of 10 and 11 drag over it. So I can figure it out.
Yay.
I
love
it. I'm sure we're going to run into the same problem we ran into last week. Or not last week, last time, was the kids that after about 4 or 5 minutes, they're like, my legs hurt. Here we go. Come on. Get them a turning.
Yeah. You're an athlete. Knock it off.
You're an athlete.
And you're young. Uh-huh. Right? Where can people follow you on social media, buy your apparel, help you guys out, all those things?
Yeah. So you can follow, right now we're on Instagram, under the Influence Streetwear on Instagram. You can get on there and make it, you can place an order through our Instagram. Just send me a DM. We're at that level right now, and hopefully we can get to a point where we can set up a store and whatnot on Instagram and other social media platforms. So yeah, that's where we are right now.
Yeah, everything we're doing now is out of our home with, you know, our machines and everything here, but we do handpick the, you know, shirts that we go on. It's not just your regular t-shirt. It's different colors, different, you know, different messages. And what is our tagline? Now you're going to make me, I forgot.
Each
has a message, and each person has an influence. Together, we can make an impact.
Yes.
Awesome. You completed my wrap up for me, but that was one of my wrap ups. It's okay.
You can do it again and just edit it out.
Thank you guys for joining us. We'll make sure to link all of their social media handles in our show notes. And again, thank you guys for everything that you're doing in the community and with the youth as well, all the way up through the college level. So again, thank you. And even if you just need a prayer, someone to listen, if you can't or don't feel comfortable reaching out to us girls and you want to mail, feel free to reach out to Randy, and we'll make sure we'll make sure to link it all in the show notes. So again, thank you, and as always, just reflect on what imprint are you leaving on others and how are you influencing others along your journey. So again, don't live under the influence, be the influence. As their clothing line states, each piece has a message. Each person has an influence. Together, we can make an impact.
As always, all of you dealing with mental health and survivors, we hear you, we see you, we stand by you, sending you love, light, blessings. Know that you're not alone.
Please note, Under the Influence wants to rewrite the narrative of what it means to be influential in the world. Their main goal is to impact the lives of others, and they will be doing that in a couple of different ways. They will start by donating 7% of each t-shirt sold to local programs that support youth that struggle with substance abuse, self-esteem, depression, and youth porn addiction. And every year, they will partner with other local businesses for a Christmas toy drive or a give back event in the community. Don't live under the influence. Be the influence.